Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast with Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and founder and president of West Coast Baptist College.
Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. I am excited about ministry and serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm very happy today to have a fellow servant of the Lord and a former staff member here at Lancaster Baptist Church, Pastor Tim Christensen, with us. And Pastor Tim, we are delighted to have you back in California for a few days. And you served here with us for 18 years. And it's hard to believe how fast that went by. And I remember when God began to work on your heart for pastoring, and you had such a large swath of responsibility here. And I was like, oh man, I hated it, but I could see it at the same time, God's work in your life. And we're so happy with how he's using you in the ministry today. And tell our friends where you're serving now, and tell us just a little bit about kind of where you started and where you're headed with the building program and so forth.
Sure. So when you pastor in Michigan and you are invited to spend a few days in California, it's pretty easy to say yes.
I thought it's because you loved us.
Yeah. There was that too. My wife and I were raised in Michigan, but delighted to spend all of our 20s and 30s in Lancaster. And so 7.5 years ago, we moved as a result of the Lord's leadership in our lives to respond to the call to Howell, Michigan. It's not the city where I grew up, but it's the state where I grew up. And it was a revitalization work. We were welcomed by some of the sweetest Christians you'd ever want to know. And there were 36 members when we got there. And the church was 50 years old. And they were very faithful and loving to us. And we're so grateful for them. And then over the last 7 years, just one soul at a time and one baptism at a time and one discipleship moment at a time, the Lord's grown our church. And we outgrew our building a few years ago. So we bought a piece of property. And we sold the building we had, and we're meeting in a temporary space now, a rented auditorium at our local high school. And we're praying and working toward being able to move into a new facility at the end of this year or early 24.
Now, Tim really led the effort for the Walther Center. Many of you have been in the Walther Center. We had a great building committee. He'd be the first to tell you that. We had great architects and contractors, but Tim helped me pick a lot of the carpet and tile, and the design effort was a part of your labor of love. And then, of course, the West Wing. I think you were a leader in that as well. And we really enjoyed serving in those capacities, as well as just seeing God provide for all of those miracles. And really, more than the buildings, I think the legacy of someone who serves on pastoral staff is exactly what you enjoyed last night, seeing so many people that you had either led to the Lord or influenced for the Lord still being faithful.
Amen.
I know that's the real key to ministry. So as Brother Tim worked here at Lancaster Baptist, the Lord at first allowed him to go through a lot of probably iron sharpening iron exercises in developing administratively and soul winning and what is an adult Bible class, what is discipleship. It was just awesome. And I tell you, and I tell my college class this, that Brother Tim Christensen was someone who received direction, correction, wanted to know how to do it best. And then soon in his life, he began to be the leader and mentor for others in the same exact process. And we know in Romans 12, God gives different gifts to different people. And I believe that Brother Tim has the gift of administration. And he's been with us on campus doing some in-house training with respect to what we call process management. And it's been a great morning. And I've asked that Tim would take some time here on the podcast to really just talk to us about some of the steps biblically that are involved in managing a project or a process. And so today we talk about biblical management principles in the process of everyday ministry. And of course, Brother Tim, you took us to the book of Nehemiah, which is a favorite for many of us when it comes to watching. Of course, the one thing about Nehemiah that really frustrates me is that the building was done in 52 days, right?
There were no building inspectors.
Right, so. That's why, yeah. And of course, in California, we can't even get a permit in 52 days, right. You know. So, but, you know, we've learned some about building programs, but we want to build the people, and that requires us being organized and working together as a team. And as you began talking today, the first principle that you shared was really identifying the work, identifying where we're going. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, the Lord gave Nehemiah a job to do, and we watch it unfold. And if you're looking for it, you see all these detailed descriptions of how that, what that looked like for Nehemiah. And I know the Lord's given us a job to do. And we take great comfort in the fact that Jesus promised to build his church. I think it's Matthew 16:18. Mm-hmm. But the Lord uses us in that we are the tools in his hands, we are the materials in his hands, and we are laborers in the work, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So the Lord Jesus is building his church, but it's our delight and privilege to be laborers together with God. And so in chapter 2, verse 12, and I actually heard you preach this passage the week you interviewed me in Knoxville 26 years ago. But there's a scene where he rises in the night and takes a few close men with him, and he goes and views the city walls and the gates that were broken down. And so he had to first identify the work that the Lord had given him to do. And Stephen Covey said one of his seven habits back in the day when he wrote that bestseller was to begin with the end in mind.
Right.
So when you've been given a project or when you're responsible for managing a process, so many things that happen in a local church involve a process. The Great Commission is a process. Go, win, baptize, teach. So a lot of the work we do involves a process. And because the work is important, if we are willing to steward the process diligently, we can see greater fruit to the glory of God. So every church has processes, whether they realize it or not, for just about every category of ministry, whether it's how they get volunteers involved in ministry and enlisted and trained, whether it's how someone arrives on the campus, gets parked, gets greeted, gets welcomed, gets their children checked in, gets escorted in and find a seat in the auditorium, whether it's how the Sunday service with all of the music and the components of the worship service get prayerfully prepared. Every ministry has a process, whether it's how you welcome new members. And these processes become important not because managing is important, but because of the fruit that they produce if they are stewarded.
And that's exactly right. It's not about being some kind of a management guru or just, you know, we should do it for excellence sake, but it's really about getting people to the gospel, getting people saved. Now, I want to ask you this question. What do you do with someone who they identify their work and they don't like their job and they'd rather do someone else's job?
Right. Well, Helen Keller said, I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but I find my chief responsibility is to accomplish small tasks as if they were great and noble. And so you really have to embrace the providence and sovereignty of God and know that everybody in this world, like a percentage of what they get to do on a daily basis, and then have another percentage of it that are just
Excellent.
Part of the responsibility that comes with the package. And I think you can look in the scriptures and see that in the lives of the leaders in scripture. And so I think we need to lean into that. And
absolutely. And I tell you what, we do need to steward it. And I think this is a lesson that the sooner we learn it, the better off we are in ministry. Because if we're only going to enjoy doing what we enjoy doing, A, that can be very selfish. B, needful things don't get done. And when it really comes to identifying the work, I got to tell you, there's a lot of work that I identify that I'd rather not do.
Right.
But there's a lot of people glad that I do it.
Amen.
You know, and whether that is the area of, you know, confronting a spiritual indifference, or whether it's, you know, helping to remodel the nurseries, or preaching a sermon, you know, these are things God gives to us. And so I love that, and I think we should be grateful for all the work that God gives to us. The second principle you talked about was then dividing the work.
Right.
And take a minute or two and talk about the process of dividing up a project.
So as you walk through the book of Nehemiah, you see in chapter 3 that he begins to break up the sections of the city wall all the way down to the beams and the bars and the locks and the doors and the towers, and he begins assigning the work out. So if you're going to be part of a process and lead that process, you're going to have to break it down into actionable steps that can then be put in sequence. And this is where it's not exciting maybe or appealing. No one really notices it, but this is the behind the scenes work kind of between Sundays where you're thinking through for the people you are privileged to lead, how does this go for them? And how do we serve them well? And it just will translate to making a great difference if you're willing to break it down. It's what, you know, the Industrial Revolution is partially credited with the division of labor. So whether it's an assembly line or breaking things down, Romans 12 says we have many members in one body. So we have these different functions, and we take the processes of the areas of responsibility that we've been given, and we break it down into actionable steps.
You know, I think about the building programs we worked on, and when we finish this Kid City building in a few weeks from now, we will have completed $86 million worth of building programs. And wow, have we learned a lot in the Lord, trusting Him through all these building programs. But one of the things I've learned from our contractors is that the better contractors have a cost-loaded construction chart, and it's a timeline with costs and with deadlines that are measurable.
Right.
And I really feel when it comes to dividing the work, we need to divide it amongst the resources that involve people, time, and finance.
Yeah.
And if we're not looking at the budget, if we're not looking at the labor, and if we're not looking at the time involved with it, then a lot of times we have a dream without a plan, which is really just a wish. And so I really love this part of the outline, because you're teaching on the subject of really dividing up that work in measurable steps. And then you talk next about taking that divided work and organizing it. And I want to say that Brother Tim was on our staff, he did this process management with stewardship campaigns and leadership conference. I think you led 6 or 10 leadership conferences when you were here. And a lot of folks come to a conference like that and they enjoy it, and we're glad they do. But boy, behind the scenes, it is transportation and food and music and guest relations and teaching and microphones and so many things that have to be organized. Talk about organizing in the local church.
Well, I think you said it best when you said you need to think about time. So you need to think about the calendar, and you need to think about what steps happen before other steps. And I think even if you want to use an example that all of us are passionate about, how do you welcome people? And how does someone move from a first-time guest to a fully engaged member who's, you know, been saved, baptized, discipled, serving in ministry, and so forth? And there's just, that's the beauty. That's what we get up every day for, is to see people move along that journey. And what can we do to come alongside of them and walk beside them to take those next steps? And the great artist Vincent van Gogh said, great things are done by a series of small things brought together. And I think that's what we see in fruitful churches,
right,
is that there are leaders in those churches at different levels of leadership, pastorally and on the team, that think through, well before Sunday happens, how does this work for precious souls when they come and interface with us?
Yeah.
I told the group this morning that the organizing and the work should address, number one, the sequence in which things happen, the timelines and deadlines involved, the meetings that will be required. None of us get too excited about meetings, but boy, if you have them, the right people, and they're the right length, and they're in the right times on the calendar, boy, a lot gets done.
You know, there was that book a few years ago called Death by Meetings.
Right.
And boy, I got hammered with that, because as you know, I'm the master of probably long meetings, I don't know, but there is something to be said for communication.
Right.
And so I don't really think you can organize well without the meeting.
Right, so then communication is required, and then oftentimes in ministry there's approvals that are required. And
right.
One of the things I had to learn, and I'm still learning, is beginning this process earlier than later. And it's just so much more enjoyable for the rest of the people involved when you communicate well and give people a heads up on where you think the Lord is leading you. And that's what we mean when we say we're organizing the work. And in Nehemiah, all throughout chapter 3, it talks about how he broke down and divided the labor and organized things. And certain things had to be done before other things could be done.
That's right. And then you talked about assigning the work. And delegation is a fine art. And taking the pieces of the pie and giving the gift the various gifted workers their piece, and trying to know who's going to handle what best. Talk a little bit about that process.
Yeah, well, someone said that ministry is the most leadership intensive work in the world, because we're really leading people that are volunteers.
Right.
The largest workforce in every church is the volunteer workforce, and so assigning the work is an important stewardship. The early church, as it grew, you see immediately they had to find seven men who they could appoint over this business. And so it's not just about delegating, but it's also really about coming alongside of people, equipping them for the work of the ministry, enlisting people, answering their questions, solving their problems, thinking about what they need. And what I found is people love to serve the Lord Jesus in his church if they are equipped.
Right.
And if they are led and communicated with in advance. And I just think we multiply what can be done for the Lord, and so many other people can experience the joy of being involved when we, ahead of time, begin inviting people from our congregation and our staff teams to own areas of responsibility in the work. And I think communication is the biggest piece of it, which we'll talk about next.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to our role as pastors, obviously Ephesians 4, you know, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And what Tim just said with respect to making it an enjoyable experience for our volunteers, and I think it was Peter Drucker that said ministry is the most labor-intensive. He knew that the nonprofit, we cannot motivate people by a cutting in pay. They don't get paid. You know, we can encourage them once in a while. So what is their motivation? Well, first of all, the joy of the Lord is their strength. It's a calling. It's a spiritual calling. But I think the real motivation at the baseline of daily ministry is that they enjoy serving the Lord. And we can cultivate that environment by pre-planning. When a leader knows that there's something not working, I don't care if it's a toilet, a drinking fountain, lights that go on and off in a Sunday school classroom, and the leader does nothing, he is demoralizing his volunteers, whether he realizes it or not. So we have to be action-orientated. I write a lot of stuff down on Sundays to make sure that by the next Sunday it's just a little bit better. And that leads us to communication. And I know that for us, a lot of our breakdowns can be communication breakdowns. So talk about that.
Well, communicating the work is where the process that began in your head and then you got it out of your head onto paper in order gets in front of other people. And I've found that people are hungry to be generous with their time and energy if they feel that you've prepared well to lead them. And this is really equipping people. Most of our problems in ministry are as a result of communication breakdowns. Most every one of us in ministry probably would do well to communicate more clearly, more early, and more thoughtfully with those around us. And in ministry teams, so much of what one ministry department in the church does affects other ministry departments in the church. And so part of having a team that enjoys serving the Lord together is a willingness to communicate with one another about how our use of the facility might affect their use of the facility, or our calendar event might compete or not compete with their calendar event. And so communication within the leadership and then among the congregation is just a huge piece of that. And I also feel like this is a lot of people's love language, frankly. And I think I've hurt people before because I didn't communicate well with them or early enough with them, and then they were surprised. And when people are generous with their time and want to serve the Lord, I think it's my job to not frustrate them if I can avoid it. They need flexibility, of course, as a mature Christian, but people are so blessed. I keep thinking about Solomon's servants and the Queen of Sheba's visit to Solomon. One of the things she said she was so impressed by, of all the other things, was the joy of his servants. Mm-hmm. And what a great example for us about the people we get to lead.
Amen. Now, you talked about communicating as far as facility usage, as far as calendar issues. And you were here for 18 years, and so you know that we have a complex calendar here. I want you to take a minute and talk about planning sequentially or simultaneously might be a better word when, for example, here we are and we're having Easter and we're putting a lot of time and money and planning into Easter, but 2 weeks after that's youth conference.
Right.
And just use that as a picture. That happens here 2-3 times a year.
Right.
What are some thoughts you have on planning, long-range planning, so that we're not coming all through Easter and then waking up and going, wow, we got 2,000 visitors coming 2 weeks from now.
Right.
What are some thoughts on simultaneous planning of close upcoming events?
I think the key is the people that are responsible for those events communicating with one another and having a servant's heart toward one another.
Yeah.
And it is a joy to sometimes carry the load for one ministry event that you're not maybe responsible for, but you're helping your brother or sister in the Lord, and then they're helping you a month later. But I feel like communication is the key, and coming together with a servant's heart, knowing that we're on the same team and we've all been given different jobs to do, and we rejoice when the music ministry rejoices when the youth ministry has a success, and so on and so forth. So I feel like that communication between teams is important, the servant's heart. And I think probably the busier a ministry is and the more people are involved and the more the Lord's given them to do, the less we can work in silos separated from one another. We have to sort of hold our work open-handed with each other and enjoy speaking into each other's areas, and also having a servant's heart if flexing something in my plan helps you accomplish your plan.
Right.
What a beautiful thing that is as a mature Christian characteristic among a team of Christian servants.
But I think with communication too, what you just described happens best in the meetings.
It does.
Because, you know, in our meetings, a couple of team leaders are going to, you know, give a devotion, and we're going to give some high-end announcements and who's in the hospitals and, you know, things that we're praying about. But then we literally, as you know, we go around the table. Mm-hmm. And that's where each man opens his heart, opens his calendar. And if he's not communicative, we're going to roll right over him. Not intentionally. Well, we're like, we didn't know you had that room. We didn't know you were using those families to help take care of this event, you know.
Right.
But if everyone's in there talking about, hey, our event is coming this way and it's at this place, here's who's helping. I know for me, a lot of times I'm like, I better take note of that so that I can support you or get you the resources. The last thing you talked about was really the overseeing. You know, once this communication's been made, the plan's going forward. We know Acts 20:28 says the Holy Ghost hath made us to be overseers.
Right.
Give us some practical thoughts on that.
Well, you see in Nehemiah 4 where the opposition increased and the danger increased. And so you can read how that Nehemiah in chapter 4 is adjusting his plan and working alongside of his wall builders so that now they have a weapon in one hand and a trowel in the other, and then half of them are watching guard while other half of them are laboring, and he's got the one next to him with the trumpet, and he had to change his plan mid-course. And I always used to like to kind of make a plan, put it in a notebook, print it out, put it on a shelf, and nobody mess with it, but life just doesn't operate that way. So Nehemiah is a great example of making mid-course adjustments, communicating with people, solving problems, and really keeping your head up when the going gets tough. And there's just so much of that in the ministry when things come up, where needs arise, and we have to adjust on the fly. I think also it speaks to just the discipline of consistently doing the quiet behind-the-scenes work between Sundays that people don't necessarily see, but that are the key to producing the results. Jesus said those that are faithful in that which is least are faithful also in much.
And we often say we've got to inspect what we expect. You know, we've got to regulate what we delegate. And people don't respect what you don't inspect. So when it really comes to overseeing, there's this fine line. You don't want to bruise someone's spirit, but you don't want them to fail. And so you've got to go to them early enough and lovingly enough, and hopefully it motivates them at that level that they'll recognize, hey, you know, we have a major event that requires 200 volunteers and you've got 3 signed up. You know, we need to work on this.
Right.
And that's the leader's job. You're trying to keep the gaps. You're trying to continue to make sure that that there's enough traction to get the job done. And I would add a seventh to this great, great lesson that we've heard today, and that is celebrate. I think it's something that I sometimes forget because I'm so quick to move on to the next event, you know, and yet you and others have reminded me along the way, hey, let's take time, and you know, sometimes my wife will remind me, let's take the leadership team to dinner, or let's go to a ball game, whatever, and let's just let down a little bit and just really enjoy what God did and be thankful. And I truly believe that process leadership, process management is something that local churches need to discuss, as we did today in Q&A time, and then be honest about, you know, are we communicating well? Did we divide this up in the first place well enough? What is it that needs to be overseen by whom? And when there's a lack of momentum, step back and refresh it, just like a car needs a tune-up. And I hope that this podcast today has been a little bit of a tune-up for some of you that might say, you know what, I heard a couple things that I need to use in my life and ministry. And I believe that as you make those adjustments, there's going to be some people around you, serving with you, that will sense it. And that's our prayer for you. And I do hope you'll be in prayer for the Spiritual Leadership Conference Asia. That's coming up the last 2 days of February and the first 3 days of March. We are super excited. We have several thousand already registered for the daytime sessions. And we're looking forward, of course, to great crowds in the evening sessions at the SMX Center in Manila. We have a team of 40 coming from the States, joined by another team in Asia of workshop speakers and preachers. I believe God's going to work in a great way. If you'd mark that down to pray for Spiritual Leadership Conference Asia, we would really, really appreciate that. A lot of other great events coming up here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College, including the Youth Conference coming up later on in the month of April. I hope you'll take a look at our websites. Plan to be a part of some of these things. Most of all, we want you to know we're praying for you. Pastor Tim, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
We're praying for your building program.
Thank you.
And for what God's doing there in Michigan. And we'll look forward to joining with you next time on the Spiritual Leadership Podcast.